We're going to open now our Bibles in this book of 1 Thessalonians. And we were looking at other books in other times. We were looking at Galatians and we were looking Romans. And today I would like to speak a wee bit about 1 Thessalonians. And in Acts 16:9, the text tells us that Paul had a vision at night. A man from Macedonia appeared and told Paul, "Help us." The King Cassander of Macedonia created this town of Thessalonica in the 316 before Christ, uniting 26 villages in a big town. Not only the disciples, but a new number of newcomers of Thessalonica were travelers. In Acts 24, Luke mentions names like Aristarchus and Secundus, both from Thessalonica. Also, Jason and some other Christians from Thessalonica participate in proclaiming the gospel, and they have left us a great example. Some scholars say there are other letters of Paul with more doctrine, yes. But here, in 1st and 2nd of Thessalonians, we find the letters full of the doctrine of the last thing, and that is called eschatology. Every chapter of the 1st of Thessalonians ends with a reference of the second coming. And we're going to see that. Are you coming with me? In chapter 2, verse 10, we can read, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, will deliver us from the wrath to come." And now look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. "For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And look now in chapter 3, again, verses 11. "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." And verse 13. "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." In the chapter 4, you have this in verses 13 to 18. We will not read this because it's a lot. But for example, and in the chapter 5, we find this in verses 23 and 24. When they say, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Then Paul gave this hope to the Thessalonians. Even the first and the second letters, we can use a guide for the study of the life of Paul and a manual of the mission work. Paul was at least 3 weeks in Thessalonica, and you can find that in Acts 72. Some scholars think that the period of 3 weeks was the time that Paul only preached in the synagogue. The evidence are really clear. We can see that the church that formed was a big church. The church that was formed in Thessalonica was a big church. And you can see in chapter 1, in verse 9, say that a lot of people reject the idolatry to serve the living God. For these reasons and some more, we can think that Paul and company were more than 3 weeks in Thessalonica. In the chapters 1 and 2, Paul remembers them in prayer before the throne of God, giving thanks as to how the gospel arrived to Thessalonica by the Holy Spirit and not a product of human inventions. Thessalonica was the second city of Europe after Philippi that listened to the preaching from the mouth of Paul. Speaking about theology, Paul had the hope in the great triumph of Christ, in his resurrection, and his coming. The theology of Paul in this letter goes in harmony with his theology in other letters. And you can find, for example, in Philippians 1, 21, 23, or 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. Paul gives hope to the Thessalonians in a difficult time. Although some can doubt about the theological level of the letters, but it is something wonderful for us. In this letter, the gospel teaches us what the gospel does in true Christians. The resurrection is the key of our salvation. The second coming is the time that we desire, when we will not fight more with the sin, and our Lord will fill everything. And the question for you is, do you desire this moment in your life? We're going to see 3 points in this in our meditation. The first one is the power of the word. And we read in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then Paul has in mind this trinity of evangelical truths: the faith, the love, and the hope. And he considered like these three things essential elements of a Christian life. And we can read some of these. For example, if you come with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, we read, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Also in Colossians 1, 4 and 5, since we hear of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye hear before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Then the faith are not, this faith is are not mere words, but should be an active faith. And some people think that can be a contradiction. In the 17th century, there was a big confusion with the Antinomians, those that believe that only a confession of salvation was enough. They have some theology points, but we will not go into that. But today in our times, it is really similar in our evangelical world, the way that we live. The Lord say, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This is in Mark 7:6. The text that had the most contradiction was in James 2, verses 14 to 18. You remember really well that speak that the faith without works is death. Luther himself look at the letter of James doubting, but this test goes according to the scriptures. If I will tell you that normally all the Christians goes to church, you will be agree with me. And if I will tell you that some are not Christians go to church, you will be agree also. Then that is exactly what happened in James. Is the same ending from different starting points of view. Our faith must be a faith in action. And we can see here in verse 5, the work of the Holy Spirit working with faith in the hearts. Sometimes in the Bible we find these two words together, spirit and power together. For example, if you come with me, we can see that in Romans 15. Romans 15, in verse 13. Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And also the verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I have full preached the gospel of Christ. Also in First Corinthians, for example, chapter 2, verse 4. If you come with me, First Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with inciting words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Then the words power of God appears 15 times in the scriptures. A preacher spoke with Luther one time and asked him, "Do you not realize what will happen if we let the poor and country children read the Bible?" And Luther answered to him, "Yes, we will have more Christians." Then the Word of God has a spiritual power. The perseverance of our hope is Christ. And it doesn't matter how many times Satan or the world strike us, because by the grace of Christ, we will stand. Proverbs 24:16 say, "For the righteous fall seven times and rise again." And you know really well that seven is the number of perfection in the Bible. And we arise in Him, not in our own strength, but in the perfection of the Lord Jesus. The good example of the Thessalonians is the result of their true election in verse 4. You can find that in verse 4. Paul leaves clear here, and in other texts, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. For example, other texts really know is Ephesians 1:4. But sometimes some doctrines of the Bible are difficult to understand. Other religions, even some evangelicals, try to understand everything in the Bible. But we need to remember that our minds are too small. Remember what say Deuteronomy 29:29. "See, the sacred things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of His law." And like reformers, reformed people, we believe that God chose us before the foundation of the world. And that means that the Lord thought in us, in every one of us, before the creation of the world. And like Calvinist people, we can't really understand why God chose men like us, full of sin and iniquity, but He loved us. We don't believe that because our own understanding. We believe that because the Bible, His revelation, say. I am sure that it's no language in the whole world able to explain of what way Christ loved us. The second point is affliction, an example of Paul. Paul in verses 5 to 10 says to the Thessalonians, "Don't accept the enemies of the faith lie to you, because they are attacking our integrity, and of this way they are trying to destroy your faith." and your security of salvation. Paul gives himself to the Thessalonians in love, in feeling, in emotion, in passion, in action. Paul always has in mind that Christ was the example to follow. If you see in 1 Corinthians 1:11, he says, "Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." Also 1 John 2:6 say, "Whoever say he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And we need to examine ourselves. What is our behavior in our lives? Can other people, can others see Christ in us? Maybe the next time you will be in the front of a mirror, look at yourself in your eyes and ask yourself, where is the appearance of Christ in your life? Paul said that the words not only were in wisdom, but were confirmed to them from heaven. Paul shows the fruit of those that preach with wisdom, those that have the Holy Spirit, and they have this assurance in their minds, means to take up the cross of Christ in their lives. And then we need to think again and think, do you desire to take the testimony of Christ in your life? In the verse 6, we can see this joy. And all Emmy's proverbs say, it's easier to preach a sermon than to live one. The people that work beside us in our lives will see Jesus. We can say to others about the mercy of Christ when we don't bow our knees in prayer. We can say to others that the Word of God is a delight when we don't open our Bibles. We can say to others about sin when there is no fight against sin in our lives. B.B. Warfield tells us the story of a general official of the States. And this general was in a big city. And in this city there was a lot of fights and violence. One day he was walking by the town and he looked at a man that came walking towards him. And the man remained calm and firm. The general was surprised of the way that this man was walking in the middle of the fights and the problems. When they crossed paths, the general turned around and seen that the other man also turned around. Then the general shouted at him, "What is the chief and highest end of man?" And the man answered, "Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever." Then the general said, "I knew that you were." I was Mr. Boy. Everything in our lives, everything in our lives is opportunity to show others Christ. And that is the sample that we have in this book of Thessalonians. In verse 6, great tribulation. Jesus himself tells us in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The disciples also suffer persecution. Look in Acts 5, verse 41. "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of God." Are we ready for that here in Loprinklin? The last point is a church with joy. Throughout history, we can see a lot of Christians who died for Christ's sake. Here is importance with the connection in verse 4. They had the security in themselves that God chose them. Now, the imitators were a good example. And we have here a big lesson. We can see the marks of those that are called by God. They are a new creator in Christ. And they come to be an example because the Spirit of God is living in them. Other marks of real Christians is that they submit to the word of God. And the question for you again is, are you walking with God? Are we walking with God? If we don't follow Christ with all our lives, in a personal way, we can be a example for others. Paul encouraged the Thessalonians and told them that they would suffer because of their faith. And that was what was happening. Look, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 14. For ye, brethren, become followers of the churches of God within Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. And also in chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. That no man will be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Then Paul teaches that suffering was another important part in those days. Persecution in those days was a reality. The Thessalonians knew what had happened in Philippi and Corinth. Look in 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, say, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. And the question is for us again is, for you is, are you ready to suffer for Christ? In a lot of places, people preach the gospel different from the reality of the gospel. But the Lord doesn't promise us complete victory in this life. Now, He promises to us that when we can work more, because the trials of this life, He will take us in His arms. And He will be always on our side. Our life is full of trials. And it is only sometimes that we can see a twinkle of the glory of God. In verse 7 and 8, we read, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded of the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God was spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And that is really incredible. It's really remarkable, because this young church was now an example. But what was their secret? The reception of the gospel in the middle of a trial and the joy of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That was their secret. They were models for the churches of Macedonia and Achaia. But if we want that our church here in Lübeckland will be an example, we need to live the gospel first in a personal way. Jesse Ryle said that the churches that doesn't have problems are the churches that doesn't have people. That is true. We shouldn't get discouraged because maybe we can have some problems in the church. But we need to remember that the church is not perfect. Yes, the church is not perfect, but it's holy. This church was not a church in the Thessalonica, in this church, that his members will have a lot of theology. Because they were a new church. It's impossible that they will know a lot of things, a lot of theology. But the Thessalonians knew really well what was the importance, the essential. They feel joy in the middle of the tribulation. They knew that whatever happened, the Lord was with them. And they feel that in their hearts. And the question is for us. We can say the same thing. Do you know that? That Christ is with you in every moment. And sometimes we pray for blessings and we pray for peace, for security, for a lot of things. But sometimes God speaks with us in other ways that we don't expect. The Lord sometimes he talked to us through tears. And he changed those tears to joy sometimes. Like those Puritans. That they were crying because they could not love Christ more. The Lord is speaking to us through his promises in his word. But we will still doubt. And the truth, what is the truth? The truth is, it is a lot of time that you should have more faith. Every one of us. We need to learn from the Thessalonians. The Lord is behind every detail of your life. And you don't have to wait for more blessings when you are in Christ. Because you are blessed in Christ. We don't need a lot more things. Because we have been bought by his blood. And his coming is sure. That is what Paul is telling the Thessalonians. He's taking them to the future, to the second coming. The secret of the Thessalonians for to be a good example in others was easy. Easy to understand. Faith in Christ, assurance of his promises, humility, work of the extension of the kingdom of God, work for his glory. But all these things, we need first a personal relationship with Christ. Sometimes a lot of people in the church try to please those that listen to them. Those people are not seeking the glory of Christ, are seeking his own glory. They are happy with themselves. But we need to remember that God declares himself to those that are humble. This lesson of Thessalonians is easy to understand, but difficult to follow, because we are full of pride, envy, sin. What is the delight of the Word of God here in Lübeckland? What is? What is the delight of the Word? What is the delight of the Word of God in your life? And you are the best person to answer for yourself this question. If we follow the example that we have here with the Thessalonians, we will see great things. Spurgeon said, those that don't wait to see great things from God, they will not see. The Lord will not bless us if we don't live for Him. If we want to be a sample, like the Thessalonians were a sample, we need first to live for the Lord in a personal way, in our relationship with Christ, with Him, in prayer, and second, in the body of His church. Amen.